This morning, we're blessed to have Pastor Dominic come. He's a senior pastor of Trinity Christian Center in Singapore. It's a 7,000-member church, part of the Assemblies of God. And he's also the general superintendent of the Assemblies in Singapore. Are you still Asia-Pacific? Still? Both? Oh, okay. And so he's also the head of the Assemblies for Asia-Pacific and both on the executive committee for all of the Assemblies of God. And so quite a huge responsibility. And in the midst of that, he's been coming out to SP and just really been blessing us. You know, for me personally, you know, Dominic's become a very good friend. And it's really good to have another brother that's out here in Asia, you know, and working in the same context. You know, and I've been receiving a lot of encouragement. And you know, I was in Singapore. I don't know how long ago, but during that time, you know, P. Dom said, "Hey, what do you get? Do you need something?" And I said, "Actually, we need some help with our sound and with our lighting and stuff." And he sent two of his pastors over. They served us the whole weekend. Pastor Titus is one of them that came out during that time, and so he's just always been very available to be a blessing to us as a church. And so we're really quite grateful. He's here with his lovely wife, Chinin, and they brought Pastor Victor as well. I think you're going to man the piano, right? And so he brought his own special music with him, right? And so let's welcome Pastor Dom up here.
Are you going to speak from here? Yeah. Thank you, Pastor Sam. You know, it is always great to have someone to walk with, isn't it? Yeah, I found that in the ministry when I first started as a youth pastor in Trinity. I thank God for Pastor Ong that came and walked with me those years. I think we go back at least 27 years back in the ministry together. He just started his church about 3 years, and then I kind of invited him to come preach for our youth group. And Stan was in that group at that time. I mean, it was tough, man, preaching to Stan. Still. And then since then, we became good friends, you know, and it was a joy to have Pastor Ong walk with me through this time. And so I'm just paying it forward, but it's not just paying forward, but Pastor Sam and I have just kind of, God has just knitted us as brothers. And there's so much similarities between us. And so it's a joy to be back with you. Yeah. You know, like, it's just incredible to see the numbers that God has just brought an increase into SP. Amen. You know, I believe God has something greater for you guys. I still remember the first sermon. How many of you remember the first sermon I preached at SP? All right. What was that? Let me test you guys, man. No, it wasn't now. It's about prophetic fulfillment, isn't it? I talk about potential to fulfillment. And I remember that weekend I preached. And I said, I hate the word potential. How many of you remember? If someone calls you a potential, you're a loser, man. I wrote that in my book. And then my corporate communication changed it. And say, Pastor Dom, that's too rough, man. And so they change it to, if someone calls you a potential, it means you have yet to achieve. I guess that's what public relations is all about. You know. But I hate being a potential. I want to be a fulfillment. And I believe that SP is on its way towards prophetic fulfillment. Just beginning of this year, last year I started writing two books. One was on the anointing, and the other has to do with being a history maker. And I started writing it, and I wrote about maybe five, six chapters into both books at the same time. And beginning this year, God just says, put a stop to it. And God says, write a book about potential to fulfillment. And that's what my book is all about, potential to fulfillment. And I spent 3 months just locking to write this book. And, you know, I brought it to UK, to Great Britain. And I was preaching there at a conference with the Assemblies of God. There were easily over 1,000 Assemblies of God ministers that were there. And the book just went, 200 copies just went, just like that, over an hour. And they told us later how this book has actually helped them in Great Britain. My friends from the U.S. has bought about 400 books for his apostolic network, insisting that his pastors ought to read them. Les Bowling just read it, and you know, he just felt that there was just a touch of God. And so I want to encourage you to get it, because I believe it is a prophetic voice of God for the church now. The sad reality is Jesus is coming back. Amen. I was about to call Pastor Ong to come and prophesy over you guys, man. You just quit on me, man. Come on. All right, let's all say bye to Pastor Ong, man. Where was I, man? Yeah, the sad reality is that many believers in Christ Jesus never step into fulfillment. And on their deathbed, they struggle. They struggle to leave the current reality into heaven because there's just so much to accomplish. There's just so much to do. There's just so much desires and wishes, ambition that people have, but they have never seen even a glimpse of that fulfillment. And the reality is God is coming back for a glorious bride. God is coming back for His church. But His church, God is not about to come back for a church that is depleted, for a church that has yet to achieve. Do you understand what I mean? And so God spoke to me very clearly that the church must hear this word and put asunder, stop everything that they're doing and walk towards fulfillment. And so that's what I want to encourage you with this next few sessions, to push you towards fulfillment. And as I was preparing for this, the last few sessions, as I sat here listening to Pastor Ong, and as he has set the bar standard so high, I asked myself, God, should I just continue with the train of thought or just to move you guys forward? And I just felt that Pastor Ong in the last four sessions has kind of just stirred you up in your spiritual dynamics. Now that you've been keyed up, now that there is a stirring up, I think we don't want to remain there, but we need to now take the next step forward. And so, I guess many of you remember what we call the now word, right? Which is Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses. How many of you remember that? Okay. We're going to go back to to Exodus chapter 3. But just before we do that, let's all stand and let's give a big hand to the worship team this morning. They so clearly took us from the outer courts into the inner courts. Now that we're in the inner courts, I want us to just touch God in a very special way. Because I believe that if you were to build it, God will come. If you were to build a helipad, the Spirit of God would descend. Because we are right now in a holy of holies, in the inner courts of God. Let's just open ourselves before Him, stripping away all masks, stripping away all of our inadequacies, stripping away everything that would stop us from standing naked before our glorious God. Amen. So that God can do a special work in our life. Hallelujah. G major. Just let me say.
Just let me say how much I love you. Let me speak of your mercy and grace. Just let me live
in the shadow of your beauty. Let me see you.
Let me see
you face to face.
Face to face.
And the earth will shake.
And the earth will shake.
As your word goes forth.
As your word goes forth.
And the heavens can tremble and fall. Just let me say.
Just let me say.
How much I love you.
How much I love you.
Oh my Savior.
And oh my Savior.
My Lord and friend.
My Lord.
Just let me hear.
Just let me
hear your finest whisper.
Your finest whisper.
As you gently call my name.
And as you gently call my name. Just let me
see your power and your glory.
Let me
see your spirit's flame.
Let me find you
the desert.
Till this ground is,
till this sand
is holy ground. Till I am
completely
surrendered
to you, my Lord and friend.
Just let me say,
so let me say
how much I love you.
With all my heart,
I long for you.
For I am caught in a passion of knowing.
This endless love
I found in you.
And
the depths of grace,
the forgiveness found,
to be called a child
of God,
just makes me say,
how much I love you,
oh my Savior.
Sing that again.
Just let me say
how much I love
with all my heart.
With all my heart,
I long for you.
I long for you.
For I'm
caught in this passion of knowing this endless love
I found in you.
And the depths of grace, the forgiveness found,
to be called a child of God,
just makes me say how much I love you,
oh my Savior, my Lord and
just let me hear.
Just let me hear
your finest whisper.
As you gently
call out my name.
My name.
Just let me see your power and your glory.
Let me feel.
Your spirit's flame,
your spirit's
Father, that right now,
let me find you
in the desert.
The desert,
till this sand
is holy ground.
Till I am found completely surrendered to you, my Lord, and
let me find you.
Let me find you.
The desert.
Till this sand.
It's holy ground.
And I'm found completely.
I am found completely
surrendered.
To you, my Lord and friend.
Father, this is our cry of our hearts,
that we want to be completely surrendered to you.
Father, thank you for the last four sessions as you stir us towards intimacy,
so that we will not just be sophisticated animals, but we will be men and women of deep spirituality, working with the sophistication of the technologies that are at hand. Father, thank you for stirring our hearts, causing us to be deliberate in our intimacy, deliberate in pressing in into your presence. Thank you, Lord, for the worship this morning that declares your greatness. And because you are a great God, open the capacity of our hearts so that we will love you more. Oh God, so that we will serve you for the rest of our lives. So Father, this morning, take us and shift us right now to the next level in you. And so I thank you. I praise you, Father, for the Kairos word. For that word that you want me to minister this morning. And so I thank you. And Lord, we just want to say, we love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. In Jesus' name, and God's people say, come on, give Jesus a big, big hand. Let him know how much you love him. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. A story was once told of this young preacher that went to this place. This church was on a pastoral search and they were looking for a pastor. And so they brought this young minister to come into the church to preach, and he preached a great message. He preached from John chapter 3 verse 16. Tremendous sermon, great illustration. Many responded to the altars to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And at the same time, many recommitted their lives to Jesus Christ. The board then met and talked about this young preacher since they were on this pastoral search. Found that he was a man of great quality, and he's a man that knows the word, has a heart for God. And so they decided to hire this young preacher. And so on the first week of the job, he had lots of counseling to do, and then he prepared himself for the weekend message. The church came right now expecting a great sermon since he preached a fabulous sermon the week before. And as they came into church, immediately following the worship, he had the congregation turn to John chapter 3 verse 16. And as they turned to John chapter 3 verse 16, some of the folks in the church were saying, wow, he's preaching from the same passage again. Is there a new revelation? And the young preacher started preaching, and it was the same illustration, same content, same message. There were still others that got blessed, but some of the board members were right now wondering, oh, does this guy have any other sermon right now? But he thought, since he was a new hire and he didn't have much time to prepare because of the amount of counseling that he had to do because of the backlog, so they decided that maybe let's just cut this guy some slack, give him a break. And so the week number two of his employment now came up. And that same weekend again, he came to the pulpit and he says, you know what, folks, let's turn to John chapter 3 verse 16. Preach the same sermon with the same illustration. By now the church board scratched their head and say, you know, we better talk to this guy and, you know, and do something about it, or else this is not going to cut it, you know. So they met the young preacher, they met the pastor for lunch, and it was a great lunch. And over lunch, they said to this new pastor, and said, you know, pastor, we love you. You impacted us greatly. Many were blessed. And we're just wondering, do you have any other sermon besides John chapter 3 verse 16? To this, the young preacher said, you know, I have numerous of sermons, but it's because you guys haven't got it. I don't know, but I've been struggling and I've been going through. And you know what? Exodus chapter 3 kept coming right up at my face. And I want to preach on Exodus chapter 3 verse 1. And it's a very simple word, just two words in Exodus chapter 3 verse 1. And if you return to it, it says, now Moses. Isn't it? And so I just want to preach on now Moses for us again. But this time I'm going to ask you to help me preach this sermon. All right, so I'm going to ask you to repeat after me three times. Right? The first time, let's say, now Moses. That's good. Let's try it again. Now Moses. All right, that's point one. My point two will be, now Moses. Let's say it together.
Now Moses.
Okay, let's say that again.
Now Moses.
All right, that sounds good. That will be point two. The point three of my sermon will be, now Moses. All right, to do that, point at somebody, and at the count of three, say that. One, two, three. Now Moses. All right, turn to the other person and do that. One, two, three. All right, that's my 3-point sermon. And we're just going to preach on now Moses, now Moses, and now Moses. All right? And I hope this will impact you and translate you towards fulfillment. The scripture tells us in Exodus chapter 3 as we begin with, and obviously, you read it as if you're reading a story. If you were to go to a library where there is a storytelling corner where somebody's reading a book to young kids, and they read it, and you know, Exodus chapter 3 will come for, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and you know, it's just a cursory statement, now Moses. Everybody said, now Moses. And it's very circumstantial, isn't it? It is as if someone is just reading, and as if someone is just reading about Moses' life. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing new, nothing old. It's just that's Moses. That's what Moses was doing. And it's very circumstantial at this point in his life. And let's look at the circumstances that led to this point of this first point of now Moses. Describe Moses being at a point in his life. Very circumstantial as to what has transpired that has brought him to this place where he wasn't experiencing great success, neither was he experiencing great failure. It was just a normal part of his life, very circumstantial as he lived day to day. Nothing exciting. It's just like the same old, like some of us will get up every morning in Hong Kong at the same hour, at the right time. We get up of our bed, we wash up, we put on our false eyelashes. We cake our hair with all the gel, put on our clothes, make sure we hit the bus stop at the right time to catch the same old bus, looking for our same old seats, getting off at the same MTR station to take the same walk of 150 steps to our offices. And that's what we do every day. And then we go through this mire, we go through this whole tremendous day where we get exhausted at the end of the day, and we realize that we miss early morning prayer. Not that we missed it, it's just that we just didn't get up early enough to go early morning prayer. And it's very circumstantial in our life. And that was what Moses was going through. And I want to say to us this morning, whether it's good circumstances or bad circumstances that has happened in our life, or same old, same old, I want you to know nothing happens without God eyeballing it this morning. Anything and everything that happens in your life did not happen because God wasn't interested. Everything happened for a reason. Even if it happens because of our own stupidity, it still happens under God's provision. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You and I can do stupid stuff, but you know what? At the end of the day, the scripture says God takes that which is bad and He turns around that which becomes good according to those who love Him and according to those that are called according to His purposes. Because nothing happens by chance. At the end of the day, God comes and He recalibrates it so that it will become a divine orchestration in Him. And in this story here, where Moses' life was concerned, I mean, Moses wasn't doing anything great. Was just taking care of man. That's all he was doing. For some of us, that's a sad reality. I mean, he had a great ambition, born to be the prince of Egypt, and here he was, just a shepherd. And I mean, working for his father-in-law. You know? How many of you want to work for your father-in-law? Not me. You did. I like him there. No. Let me correct. I love him. Just I don't have to like him. Oops. Can we just erase the... Working for your father-in-law? What kind of man are you? You're not your own man. If you're working for your father-in-law, I'm sorry. Oops. Ouch. I mean, he was even conned by his father-in-law. Yeah. I mean, that's the sad reality in life, isn't it? Some of us go through harsh realities in life. Extremely harsh. But you are here today. The beauty of it is that you are here today because God has orchestrated it such that no matter how harsh your reality is, you are in this place enjoying the pleasures of God. Because I want you to know, firstly, in understanding the circumstances of our lives, nothing happens by chance. But number two, you need to understand that all circumstances will be covered by His grace. Every circumstance that you and I go through, no matter how harsh or how great it is, they are all covered by His grace. Because without His grace, you and I will not find sustenance for living. You know, what is grace? G-R-A-C-E. Grace means God's resources available for His children's empowerment. That's what it is. If you guys forgot about it last year. No matter how sad Moses went through in that harsh reality where he was exiled for becoming the king of Egypt. I mean, right now he was just a bloke. It's just a no one. He's just another digit in a number of human population. He was just a digit. But you know what? He's not a digit in God. Because God looks down from the portals of heaven and God sees him. What's that? That's grace. That's grace. And I want you to know this morning, if you were sitting here right here in this place and you've been stirred up in your faith and you know, you're pressing into intimacy, but you're wondering whether God ever takes notice of your life. I want you to know He looks down from the portals of heaven and God sees you. Only you. Out of the billions that exist in our world today, God looks down and He's interested in your life. That's what it means. That's what now Moses means. It means that nothing escapes the eyes of God. And when it doesn't escape the eyes of God, grace comes. Grace meets us where we are. And that's why everything is in God's hand. The circumstantial point of Moses' life also teaches us another very important truth this morning. Besides the fact that all circumstances are in God's control, that all circumstances are covered by His grace, it means that you are never alone. It means that you are never left behind. As a child of God, the beauty of it is that you will never walk alone. You will never be alone because God's Spirit looks at you and God says, I'm going to be with you. Yeah. You may feel that it is a circumstantial aspect of one's life that you are going through this journey, not you know, wondering, does someone ever takes notice? God does. He did. God looks down and understand the betrayal that you have experienced. God looks down and understand the struggles that you're going through, battling your secret sin. God looks down and understand that which you are going through each and every day of your life. God looks down and God says, I will be with you. That's why Jesus says, when I go away, I will ask the Father and He will send you another comforter. I like the word comforter. The word comforter isn't that which you give to a child to pacify a child. The word comforter doesn't mean that piece of thing that you put on you when you sleep. The word comforter in Greek means paraclete. And the word paraclete in Greek means one who comes alongside. That's what it means. God looks down from heaven, sees the circumstances of your life, and He comes alongside you. It's a beautiful description. You know, this analogy, this word come alongside. It describes a man in a boat by himself, and suddenly he loses the oar of his boat. And so there is no way you could paddle yourself back to shore. And then here comes another boat coming alongside you, linking up with you so that both boats can make it to shore. That's the picture of coming alongside. Which means I want you to know you are not in this alone. I hear the story of Grace and some of the rest as they share what they're doing. And you know what, friends? It can be extremely lonely. But you're not doing it alone. That's why there's a church called SP that's praying for you, walking with you. That's why Pastor Sam prayed the prayer that you will never walk alone. And so I want you to know this morning, through the circumstances of your life, it may read like any ordinary story now, Moses. And it's like as if no one's interested in you. It's just a story. You're just being passed by. But I want you to know, that ain't gonna happen, because God looks down that day and says, Now Moses, it's your time. Isn't it? That's what now Moses means. Now Moses talks about the urgency of time. While the first describes the circumstances of our life that seems as if no one cares, as if, you know, we're going through the same issues in life over and over again. Now Moses now describes an urgency. God looks down from heaven and God says, now, this is the time. This is time for something to happen. There's a sense of urgency. There's a sense of urgency in God. And so when we talk about the urgency of the hour, we need to catch the concept of time here, folks. It's so important for us if we're going to step into fulfillment. We've got to capture the concept of time. Time has got a concept here. The first concept is that which is chronos. That's where the word chronology comes from. Or a sequence of events, sequence of time. All of us have to live in the chronos of time. That's the reality. The reality is all of us live in the chronos of time. That kind of describes the now Moses. But when there is an immediacy, when there is an urgency, it becomes a kairos time. And what that means is in the daily myriad of your daily life, daily activity, there is a moment in God that opens up. There is a moment that opens up every day in the every moment of our lives. In this chronos time, the heavens open and something happens. And that's when you need to step right in. That's just a moment. How many of you here are married? Let me see your hand. Okay. Well, all the guys, man, that are married, lift your hands. Okay. I'm not sure whether I should interview some. I like Robinson West, man. Where's your wife? All right. I want to ask David a question. Very, very important. Muy, muy importante. Now, how long have you guys been married?
Close to a year.
Close to a year. All right. The honey is still in the moon, right? All right. Keep it there. When did you propose to Cecile?
About a year ago, before we got married.
Yeah. I hope so. I asked when? Time.
December 31st.
Wow. He's a good man. He remembers the date. What made you propose to her on December 31st?
We were in Vietnam, which is where she's from, and right time. So.
How do you know that was the right time?
Felt like it. So.
Felt like it. I mean, what kind of answer is that? Isn't it? are there indicators so that you know?
We're just very happy together, and yeah, just want to move forward with it. So.
All right. In a moment of time. Oh, come on. Let's give David a big hand. He just illustrated my point. It was December 31st, 2011. They were just happy. And it was just an ordinary moment, which is the ordinary chronos of time, that they were just hanging out together. And in the chronos of time, there comes an open heaven where you know and you know this is the right moment. So he went on his knees, held her hand, looked at her with starry eye, and said, "Honey, I love you. Will you marry me?" I don't know whether it panned out that way. Nice setting sun. In the chronos of time, and so you got to understand the concept of time. We all live in the chronos of time. But there is, in those chronos of time, God opens a heaven, and it is so important that when that happens, you step in, because if you don't, you missed it. It is just like the story in the gospel of the stirring of the pool at Bethesda. And at that moment, whoever steps in first gets healed. That's the concept of a kairos moment, an opportune time, an opportune moment. It is a moment whereby you seize the opportunity of God and things begin to change radically for you. Like you have received a prophetic word, and that's an open heaven. And that's what we call a chronos time mix at the verge of a kairos moment. And at the moment when you receive it, you either receive it and say yes and step into it, something then begins to happen. But if you don't, nothing ain't gonna happen. You hearing what I'm saying? My wife and I were trying to sell our condominium. I mean, for a while. I was kind of disobedient to the Lord. During the Asian financial market crash, just before the Asian financial market crash, I was just preaching, and then suddenly I just stopped and I just told everybody, there's going to be a financial market crash, and I'm going to buy myself a big house. And everybody like, I'm going to buy myself a nice car. And then I just continued preaching. And after that, someone came to me and said, "Pastor, you have gone just gone off on the other side." And I said, "No, that's God's prophetic word. If you guys receive it, that would be great. If not, just move on." And they didn't fully understand. And you know what? You can never fully understand the concept of kairos. You can only understand it in the spirit, but not with our mind. And so, the market crash. I mean, we instead of buying ourselves a nice landed property in Singapore, as you know, in Singapore, we're kind of like Hong Kong, so everything's built upwards. And so everybody's staying in an apartment. So to buy a piece of dirt, so to speak, soil, I mean, that costs an arm and a leg. But God has opened the door, but, you know, I just didn't step in. So I bought myself a condominium because I just wanted the lifestyle. If you know what I mean? You know, nice swimming pool, tennis court, putting green, you know, that kind of stuff, gym, and you know. So I bought it, and then God kind of convicted me. I told my wife, I missed it, man, dear. She said, "You didn't miss it. You know, we have a nice home." I said, "We missed it because God says land. And we didn't buy land, we bought airspace." And so, you know, we prayed about it, and we realized that I kind of missed it, and so I need to recover. And I'll talk about the third point of redeeming time. And so what I did was I put my condominium on sale. Just put it up on sale. And we figured in our mind, humanly speaking, that in order to get the landed property, we need to sell off our condominium. Do you understand? The right thing to do is to sell off so that you have the money to buy yourself soil. We market the property for over a year. No one came to see our condominium. I mean, we live in a nice condominium, which is almost look like a resort, because they're not high, they're just four-story high. That's all surrounded by the pool. So everywhere you look, you see the pool. And so it's a nice, luscious resort kind of a living. But for a whole year, nothing happened. Nothing happened. Property prices was picking up at this point in time. And I said to my wife, there is a moment, dear, and we have to do this by buying the property first. And my wife said, huh, you gotta be nuts. You see, she's Miss Practicality. This is just Mr. Faith speaking. You know? And so Mr. Faith says, all things are possible. But Miss Practicality said, all things are possible, but let's look at our finances first. So the way to do it is to sell. Yeah, and then I say, no, I guess we will have to buy first. And so in the chronos of time, so to speak, that we are living in this chronos of time, my wife caught the Kairos moment. And one day out of the blue, she came up to me and said, yeah, we got to buy first. So I went out and just bought this 3,100 square feet land with a three-story house built. You know, I just went out within a few days, just bought it. Didn't have the money, just signed for it. You know, saying, God, now you gotta help me get rid of that. But it's a Kairos moment. You know why? Because at that moment, in the chronos of time, the moment that we went to see this home, this house, it was incredible, because that very morning I went see the place. I like it because there were how many bedrooms? Six bedrooms. Yeah, it's a six bedroom house. Yeah, so I like the fact that there are six bedrooms. I have a front porch to park two cars with a mini garden. I have a backyard that I can have a barbecue. And, you know, barbecue for me is a big thing, you know. And, you know, I've got two halls, a long dining room. And so I thought that's great, you know. So just buy it. But I said, my wife needed to see it. And they were asking for, originally $1.6 million. And I said, no, I just want to buy it for $1 million. And I said, no, it'll be 1.6. And so we kind of meet in between, and he says, okay, 1.3. And just as I left, I said, no, forget about 1.3, it's going to be 1.0. And so I walk off. I brought her there with my kids, I think probably about 4 in the afternoon, 5 in the evening or so. We went to see the place. As soon as our car drived by the gate, we parked the car, and as we walked to the gate of the house, there came out this girl, and she said, hey Dom, what are you doing here? I said, hi Lena, what are you doing here? She says, this is my mom's home. You see, Lena and I used to date. So there was a good investment of my time, you know, in her life. Kairos moment. I wouldn't even know. It was a Kairos moment. You know. So then she said, so you were the one that came and see the house? I said, yeah, I saw the house. Didn't you see my picture? So I said, no, I ain't seen no picture. I just saw the house. You know. But the best thing about it is that her cousin married my younger brother. So we are family. Yes. God worked it out, man. Yeah. So we bought the house at $1 million. And to show you how Kairos works, we went home that day, and by that evening, someone called up and came see our condominium. For a whole year, no one came, and now this couple came. She came walk around our little 1,300 square feet, 1,003 square feet, little condominium, and looked at it. That's not little. In Singapore, that's little. And then she walked into my study room and she saw all these books. And then she turned to my wife and said, "How is it your husband has all these kind of books?" Then she said to her, my wife said to her, "Oh, he's a pastor." The lady turned around to her husband. "Honey, didn't I tell you we're going to buy the house of a pastor?" They didn't know the price, so I just quoted my price and they said, "Deal." That's Kara's moment. In the chronology of time and sequence, there is a moment in God when you say yes. So when my wife said yes in that moment of time, something happened in accordance to her faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Every day, there is a moment of God. There is a moment of God in the everyday of your life to begin to speak for Him and salvation happens. There is a moment in time every day when you reach out and you pray and something begins to happen. There is a moment in time in the everyday of your life when you just begin to do something for God and a breakthrough, a miracle begins to happen in your life, in your family, and at your workplace. But the sad reality is that many of us continue to live in the circumstantial part of our life without moving to the urgency moment of our lives. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so this morning, it is so important to understand, yes, you and I may be living in the circumstantial point of our life where things are happening where we don't feel as if someone cares. We think that we are walking alone. But this morning, let's wake up and understand all things are under God's control. Let's understand that all is covered by God's grace. Let's understand this morning that you and I have to wake ourselves up to move on because we are not walking alone, so that we can now translate to the urgency of time. Because in the urgency of time, there is a Kairos moment. There's a Kairos moment. Amen. I believe there's going to be a Kairos moment. It was a Kairos moment for me when Pastor Sam and I went to see Sister Cindy Jacob. I mean, it was an afternoon, just a meet-up, catch-up. And she's there, you know, she's just talking to us about, I don't remember, man, chocolates or talking to us about food or, you know, some of those other stuff. Then she turns around to Pastor Sam and says, "I have a word for you." And in the midst of talking about chocolates, she just turned around and said to him, "God's going to give you property, a piece of land." And I sat there, I said, "Yes." Now that that has been spoken, I believe that in the everyday of SP life, there's going to come a Kairos moment over all of you. Because in a moment of time when one of you speak up, one of you pray, one of you meet someone and talk about church, I believe someone's going to come and say, "Yes, there's a piece of land here." But that's not going to happen until every one of you are so cognizant that there is a moment of open heaven that you can do that will lead to a breakthrough for SP. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you got to give yourself to the Kairos moment. There is an urgency. Now, Moses, you see, God looks down from heaven. God looks at Moses and says, "Moses, stop going through the circumstances of life. Now." That's where he had this encounter with God. You see, immediacy requires obedience. Immediacy of time requires obedience. There must be what I call an aggressive obedience today. You and I need an aggressive obedience. Not just a same old normal obedience, but it's going to be an aggressive obedience because heaven suffers violent, but the violent take it by force. You hear what I'm saying? In April this year, I went to preach, like I said, to Great Britain. And while I was preaching there, over a span of 3 days, since I was in UK, I decided to visit Anfield, the home of my favorite football club, Liverpool. So I took this trip over to Liverpool. It took us about an hour and a half to drive from Manchester City, because the conference was at Manchester City. And so we drove out to Anfield. And when we arrived in Anfield, the first thing I did was we did the stadium tour. Went through the trophy room and we went through looking at different trophies, taking pictures of every trophy, just admiring the trophies. And then we came down to the latest trophy in 2011 that Liverpool won, and that was the Carling Cup. But as soon as I looked into the cabinet, it was empty. The cup wasn't there. So I got frustrated, and being a typical Singaporean, I just said, enough. I walked out of the entire trophy room, went straight to the receptionist, banged my hand on the table, and said, I want my money back. Lady said, why? I said, there ain't no Carling Cup. I came all the way from Singapore to look at this Carling Cup, and it ain't there. The lady says, wrong day. I said, what's the matter with you? What do you mean, wrong day? She came on the wrong day, man. I said, why? She says, it's at Mel Woods. That's where the training ground. So I said to her audaciously, so could I go see it at Melwood since I paid for it right now? She said, no, that's not going to happen. I'm sorry, wrong day. And she just walked off. I was mad. So there needs to be, this aggressive thing about, and so I, a typical gentleman, a typical English gentleman, and I think Hutch would understand this, Hutch, how many of you have been educated in UK? Or how many of you have been in UK? Yeah. A typical English gentleman will say, if he goes out there and says, where's the Carling Cup? And they say, oh, wrong day. It's just a wrong day. They will say, okay, thank you. And they just go off. But the concept of time, urgency of the hour, means that there needs to be a pressing in. There needs to be aggression. And it's good. I'm not a typical Englishman. I'm just a Singaporean. A crazy Singaporean. And so I just hung out and I said, no, I demand to see the Carling Cup. And so I just didn't want to leave that place because I paid to go see the Carling Cup. And so I was looking at I was paying tribute to the 96 that died in the disaster. And as soon as, me and Pastor Derek, Pastor Derek was with me, and while we were looking at that, there came this man in a purple jacket. It's one of the groundsmen, and he said to us, I heard you lads want to see the Carling Cup. I said, you bet we want to see the Carling Cup. I came all the way from Singapore to see the Carling Cup. And he says, okay, follow me. And so we followed him back into the trophy room, but we went to a very special corner of this trophy room right now. And he hits this button, and the dumb waiter came out from the basement up. As soon as the elevator's doors were open, he took this box that was wrapped with chains and lock, takes it out, and as he took it out, there was a guy in a uniform that came to escort this whole thing, and he took a set of keys, and he began to remove the locks, the padlocks, and then he removed the chain, and we were all looking at this. And I have a video clip on this, and I asked, and I said in this video clip, is this a replica or is this a real thing? And he turns to me, insulted by me. He turns around and said, this is the real McCoy. I said, yes, sir. So he opens this up, he took the Carling Cup out from this box, and I'm watching this Carling Cup with glee, and yes, and he takes this cup. And the cabinet's right now open. He takes this Carling Cup, and instead of putting it straight into the cabinet, he looks at me, smiles at me, and thrusts it into my hands. Of all the millions of fans in this world, I held a Carling Cup. Man, Kairos moment. Yeah, we get to hold it. When I showed this clipping in UK, they all stood and they couldn't believe it, because only the players gets to hold this cup. The groundsmen would touch it and they'd have to polish it. But me, a mere mortal, God looks down from heaven and says, "Well done, now Dominic, and with great with great aggressive obedience, I press in, and I kept pressing in, and something happens. Hallelujah. SP, listen here. It's not going to be same old circumstantial, SP. It's got to be now, SP. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's got to be an urgency of the hour. That's why the call to prayer, that's why the call to go back to your DNA. You know, it's not because, yes, it could be because Pastor Sam felt that something was amiss. But what put that sensation in him that there is something that is amiss? I guess it is the urgency of the hour. He's hearing God say to him, now, SP. God's shouting from heaven right now. And if you could hear, if you could hear, if you could hear in your spirit, you're hearing God shouting, now, now. And there needs to be aggressive obedience. I don't know about you guys, but many of you, I mean, last night there were many with kids, man. And this would be an analogy for you parents. If your kids are playing in the backyard and there is a cobra right beside your kid, are you going to say, come here? You're going to be shouting at your kids, come here now! Isn't it? Because there's a sense of urgency. And when God starts shouting at you with a sense of urgency, God is telling you, you are at a brink, at a threshold of something bigger than yourself. Yeah, that's what it is. You're at a point in life whereby God is about to take you away from Satan's grip, or God's shouting at you to step into the greatest blessing that you will ever experience in your entire life. But if you don't respond with aggressive obedience to say yes, you missed it all. You understand? You can miss it this morning. You can miss it, folks. But I don't think that's God's intention. Because God has sent me here to deliver this message to you. If all my next, you know, my next two sermons, stuff that you're not, it's not going to hit you, I want you to be hit with this morning. This is the time. Don't miss this moment. Don't miss this moment. When God says, now, Moses, it's not just aggressive obedience that's needed from you, but what is going to happen in your aggressive obedience is the redemption of time. God's redeeming the time that Moses have lost, so to speak. In human terms, we have lost time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But God reaches back into our past and He redeems those moments to accelerate us for the future. God always reaches into the recesses of our past, takes from them, He redeems them so that He can accelerate us into our future. That's what is happening here. He spent 40 years in the backside of a desert. He lost, so to speak, 40 years. But God reached out into that desert time, takes from it, redeems it so that He accelerates him forward for that which is to come. So God's redeeming your time. Some of you, you have invested time in a deal and you kind of lost that deal. Some of you, you have invested time in doing different projects, and as if you, that project is going nowhere. But you know what? If you hear God says, now, and you move with aggressive obedience, God reaches back, He redeems it for you, accelerates it into something beautiful. Amen? So that's what's going to happen. My last point. I know I just went over by 15 minutes. Just hang in there. Now turn to the person beside you and say, now, and call them by name. All right, now, David, or now, Charles, now, Kenny. When I was a little kid, I was one of those mischievous kids in school. I wouldn't be called a bully. I'm not a bully, I'm just mischievous. I would put thumbtacks on the chair of my friends and have them sit. I would chalk the edge of the desk so that when my teacher sits on it or leans on it, you know, there will be this chalk mark. We'll all be laughing at him or her. One time I caught a bag full of roaches. I was 17 years old. Put a bag of roaches into this girl's pencil case. Man, it was exciting. Can you imagine the pandemonium in class? That ended the class. Oh, that was fun. But I remember when I was much younger, I don't remember what I did now, but this is what I remembered. I remember my teacher said to me, Now, Dominic, stop this. Stop. No, Dominic, now. But I just kept on doing it. And so before I knew it, I was sitting in class at a corner, facing a feather duster. And I ended up talking to the feather duster. Hi, feather duster. My name is Dominic. And my teacher said, Dominic, you keep talking to the feather duster, you're going to get out of the class. You know, I just started plucking the feather duster and she got ejected. I think this morning, while you may be going through the circumstances of your life, God wants you to understand His urgency. But when you understand the urgency of God's time for our life, we tend to, like Moses, give excuses, isn't it? Remember Moses gave excuse? He gave this excuse that, I just stammer. Well, you know, Moses, God, you know, I'm not a speaker, said Pastor Ong. And we all give all kinds of excuses. But heaven looks down at us this morning and says, stop rendering to God excuses why you cannot make it for early morning prayer. Yeah, we all give all kinds of excuses. Oh, it's too far. Pastor Sam, just too far. Pastor Sam's traffic's very heavy. Yeah. Oh, Pastor Sam, I can't give to the church, man. I've been giving. Yeah. You know, like Pastor Sam, I get a lot of excuses from folks. Yeah. Excuses about giving. This rich businessman in Trinity. I'm not going to give to the building fund. I said, why? Oh, you guys haven't filled the church up yet. Wait until you guys fill it up and then let's go for the next building project and I'll give. I said to him, yeah, you don't have to give a cent, man, if you don't want to. But you don't have to start talking about this. I just don't need to hear from you. I said that to him. He got upset. Yeah. And so, he got upset and then by divine orchestration, about a couple of months later, he and I were flying back from LA on the same plane. And so we went to the Chris Flyer Lounge and he was sitting there. And he was there. I said, hey, you were here. And so we had hours to talk. So I started preaching to him, man. Boy, did I preach to him. I told him about souls. I told him about the fact that everything that he said is all excuses. Just because he didn't want to part with his money, he gives me a load of excuses. I told him, God's not interested with your money. You can keep your money for all you want. But I told him the fact is that, you know, whenever we have a church building program, whenever we come to a place where we are dealing with finances, I say it is right now the most spiritual thing about life. Because money has to do with faith. Because as soon as you can give it away, you are trusting God for the little that you have left. I said, that's faith. I said, but if you grumble about giving and you don't want to give, I said, you're showing a lack of faith. And he got a message. Now he's one of my biggest givers. Last weekend, we raised $16.5 million. Charles was there. You see, the story of Trinity is that we are not a church of millionaires. We're a church of ordinary folks, just like you and me. But ordinary people who understand the concept that we must not build up too many excuses because God points His finger and says, nah. Because God's wanting to bless us. But we give all kinds of excuses, and so God said, nah, stop. Yeah. So it's about time we put asunder to some of this and say, you know what, God, I'm going to go back to aggressive obedience. Stop giving excuses. Stop making things convenient for myself. It's not about convenience. Listen, if Christianity is a convenient Christianity, then it ain't Christianity. Because Christianity costs God something. The death of His Son. I want you to know there ain't no convenience nor comfort to God. When Jesus hung on the cross, it wasn't comforting, because He looked up to heaven and He cried, God, why are you forsaking me? That was the greatest pain, the greatest sacrifice. So it's never convenient. It's never about convenience. It's never about comfort. It's never about building up excuses for a case not to do it. You hearing what I'm saying? That's why, now, Moses, now, don't get into the excuses part. Because as soon as you and I keep rendering lots and lots of excuses, you know what? We may face a moment whereby God says, okay, you know what? That's fine. He move on. You know what? You just lost the blessing. You just lost the blessing. That's why I learned a long time ago to say yes, Lord, is better than saying no, Lord. Because when I say no, Lord, God moves on. God moves on. And I miss the blessing. When I say yes, Lord, something happens. I'm blessed. Every time I say yes, Lord, I'm blessed. But every time I give God a lot of excuses, you say, now. And then I continue to give more excuses. God said, now, if you continue now, then that's over. You hearing what I'm saying? That's just the way it is. Because God has a time schedule. God has an agenda. God has a plan. And if you do not want to fit into God's plan, God has to move on. Do you remember when they encamped in the wilderness? Every morning, the cloud will move. Guess what? Moses calls the guy and says, the cloud's moving, let's go. The guy said, well, I just started my barbecue. Does God care? I don't think so. I think the cloud's going to keep moving. You see, God never leave anyone behind, but you leave yourself behind. Think about that. It's not that God does not want to bless you, but you stop God from blessing you. Whenever you render unto Him excuses after excuses after excuses after excuses. Yeah. That's how we missed it. When the salvation message comes and you say, yes, I believe in Jesus, salvation happens. But when the salvation message comes and you say, no, 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 at the end of it, you may just perish in hell. That's the way it is. Because every man, every woman makes their choice. God is not going to bend your arms to make you make a choice. God says, I want to bless you. No. No. He said, no, 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 Lord. I've got so much to do. God says, no. Oh, God, I got to do this. No. No, God, I don't have enough money. No. And then God says, okay, fine. Just move. While we always believe that God is a long-suffering God, I want you to remember there's a passage in Genesis whereby God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. So God will work with us up to a certain point whereby there is no more opportunity for God to work with us because we have taken ourselves out of that opportunity. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying? So my 3 points this morning. Now, Moses, the normal circumstances of life that you are going through, but I want you to know God's interested in you. He's concerned about you. He understands where you are. Everything's covered by His grace. You don't walk alone. It's all in God's control. Now, Moses, deals with the urgency that you and I need to move into. Understanding that there's a kairos moment in the chronos time. Understand that obedience is important. Aggressive obedience. Understanding that this morning that God will, as you are obedient, as you are aggressively obedient, God will redeem time that you have lost to accelerate you into a fulfillment. But then, don't render unto Him excuses. Say, yes, Lord. Don't render unto Him excuses. Because the cloud of glory is going to go by. Some of our excuses have to do with the fear of man. I sense it in my spirit as I was praying. Some of you have not stepped out because there's a fear. There is a fear that cripples you. That's why you give excuse to God. God says, evangelize now. There's a moment, remember, Kairos moment comes and God says, speak. He says, I'm not going to tell them about Jesus. I'm not going to invite them to church. You missed the opportunity. Why? There's a fear of man. So some of our excuses have to do with convenience and comfort, but some of our excuses have to do with fear. An innate fear, a paralyzing fear that stops you from stepping into fulfillment this morning. God's wanting to break it this morning. God wants to break fear out of your life, the fear of man, so that you will be able to say, yes, Lord. When you are rendered without excuse, then you will be missional. Then you understand God's mission. You see, finally, when Moses came to the point, he said, okay, God, then the mission of God came into his life. God has a purpose for your life this morning. Amen. God's going to take you into that place of fulfillment. But this morning, when you hear God, it says, now. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this word. In some ways, Lord, we have heard it last year. But in some ways, Father, you are bringing a new truth, a new revelation to this body. I thank you, Lord, for their life. I pray, Father, this morning, by the help of the Holy Spirit, that you would just do something. Lord, in the normal circumstances of one's life, one's journey, for those that feel as if they're going through this journey alone, whether they have lost something, whether they be sense of betrayal that caused them deep hurts, and they as if feel as if that they are wrestling with it, let them know that you're going to turn it around for your glory. And then help them to hear you shouting now, this moment. And I pray, Father, that as every man and every woman sees that moment, let the blessings of breakthrough come into their lives. Redeem the time for them. And Father, right now, render every man without the fear of man. Render them free, Father, from fear. Cause SP, a church full of believers, not to live in comfort and convenience, but to walk as committed, dedicated believers who love you deeply and love others wholeheartedly. And so, Father, do that massive work in their life today. And so, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. I don't know about you, but I sense God has spoken to a number of you this morning. Some of you, you're going through the circumstantial part of life. God's going to take you out from there. Some of you, there is an aggressive obedience that must take place today. You got to say yes, Lord, today for something to happen so that the divine transaction can take place for you. Some of you, you're so full of excuses. This morning, you got to come here and say, Lord, I'm setting aside. I'm stripping away every one of those excuses that I've given to my house group leader. I've given excuses to my friends. I've given excuses to the pastoral staff. I've given excuses to every person why it cannot be done. But today I'm just going to entrust myself into your hand and say yes, Lord. Amen. So as Pastor Victor leads us in this song, I'm going to ask you to come to the altars, find a place of prayer. Let's just come before God this morning before I hand the time to Pastor Sam. Amen.
This is my desire.
That's right, just come to the front, find a place to pray. Some of you, as I said, it is in a now. Some of you, it's now. Come now. Some of you, it's now. Those of you at the front, come closer so that there will be more space for others to come. That's right. As you are coming, something is happening. I want you to know, you're not just coming to the altars because that's the traditional thing to do. You're coming to these altars for a few things. Number one, by coming to the altars, you are stating your commitment before God this day. You're saying, Lord, I'm here because of my commitment. I'm here because of my dedication. I'm here to strip away my excuses. Some of you are here because you say to the Lord, Lord, I hear you saying now. Some of you, you are here because you're saying, Lord, I'm going through the normal circumstances of high and lows and it's caused me great pain. I need your grace. I need your covering of your grace. That's why you're here. That's why you're here, number one, to let God know. But number two, to respond to the nouns of your life so that God will take the appropriate action into your life. If you are in a now, God will touch you and bring you into a now. If you are in a now, God is saying, move quickly with immediate obedience, aggressive obedience. And then some of you are in a now, let God strip away the excuses. Because something's going to happen in SB. Amen. Hallelujah. Just continue. And then house group leaders that are back there and you're not here for prayer, as Pastor Victor leads, I'm going to ask you to join me and the pastoral staff. And I want to invite Larry and Juanita to maybe come and lay hands on different ones of you, praying with you. Amen. And then I will hand the time to Pastor Sam as the pastor of the church to just pray.
This is my desire,
O Spirit of God,
to honor you.
O Spirit of God, touch,
Lord, with all my heart, I worship you.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus,
I give you praise. All that I adore is in you.
House group leaders, if you need to respond to the altar, do so. But if you're not responding to the altars, come and join us and pray for this year. Oh, I'm going to invite my wife to also pray for you guys. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. The Spirit of God is here. The Spirit of God is here. Those of you in the front, talk to Him. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. You don't need anyone to lay hands on you. You just need to talk to Him. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Spirit of God. God's doing something. Oh, Jesus. That's right. Strip away the excuses of life. God's stripping away fear. Fear of man. Father, infuse courage. Infuse boldness. Let boldness come into lives. Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Pastor Sam to come right now. Thank you, Jesus.
As you sense God speaking to you about something, just surrender that to Him right there. It could be excuses. It could be pain. It could be a negative experience. It could be something that's good or bad. But if you feel like God's speaking something to you right here, just surrender that right now. As I'm praying, I get the word disappointment. So maybe some of you feel disappointed with God about something, or disappointed in somebody. Someone was supposed to back you up and they disappointed you. Can you just surrender that incident, that situation, that person to the Lord as well? And say, God, I just surrender this right now. There's some of you here that carry a very strong, lingering pain of absentee fatherhood. Either your dad just too busy, not around, or your dad passed away when you're little, or you came from a divorced family or something in that regard. And there's been this real lingering pain of the pain of fatherlessness. Can I invite you to surrender that to the Lord right now as well? And you watch what God does. God says, I'm your father. Right now, I know it's a long, lingering pain. Just surrender that to Jesus right now. And let Father God come. He's the father of the fatherless. surrender that right now. Let God do a deep work. I get in my spirit this word that it shouldn't be like this. This is not what I expected. I shouldn't be going through this. For some of this is relating to your job, your career. Some of you guys studied so hard and then you're like, this is it? It can't be like this. Surrender that to God. Some of you, it's in the area of relationships, marriages, having kids. You thought, come on, it's got to be better than this. Is this it? This is not what I signed up for. Just give that disappointment to the Lord right now. Let Him fill that space with hope and promise. Even if you're not a house church leader or anything outside, you can feel free to come and just minister to people. Huh? You don't have to have any kind of title or anything. You just got to love, that's all. So feel free to go and just touch someone. God's doing a really deep work with many people that are here. Even here, and also the people that are sitting down as well. So feel free to go and be a minister. Thank you, Jesus. We continue to lay down those deep, deep disappointments, God, that we've used as excuses, Lord. some of us here, we feel stuck in a rut in some way. There's this verse in the Old Testament. It's a really interesting verse, and it says, "My people forgot how to blush." Some of us, just honest to goodness, we're stuck because you've tolerated sin in your life. Let's just be very real, very honest. Things in the past and other times where we'd be quite aware, but we've invited sin, we've tolerated it. What you need more than anything else is a good old-fashioned time of repentance. At the time just to come before the foot of the cross where there's forgiveness and say, "God, I have tolerated sin. I've let things into my life that I shouldn't have." And just spend a moment and just go to the foot of the cross and be cleansed. What you're feeling and all these emotions is just dirt of sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If that word applies to you, I'd encourage you to get on your knees and just a good old-fashioned time of repentance. And you may not feel it inside, but just these simple words, "Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, I'm sorry." And as you confess these sins, you watch the cleansing hand of Jesus to come and wash away all the filth, that thing that weighs you down, thing that joys, that takes the joy off of your life. So, "Jesus, I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord." And come into the embrace of our Savior. So, Lord, I pray particularly, God, for many of us here, Lord God, that we've tolerated sin. We made it become so common in many ways, Lord. Now, would you forgive us in this place? And I encourage you right now, just go before the Lord. He's here to wash you white as snow. Teach us to blush again. Teach us to blush again.
Jesus.
You guys are praying for people, you can continue to do that. You just pray for us. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the now word, God. We thank you for, Lord, the rod of discipline sometimes. Lord, you only discipline those whom you love. And we experience your love, God, through your care. And I thank you for every person that's in this room, God. I thank you for their hearts, Lord. And God, even as I look out, Lord, all I can see is love, God. I just see an army of people that genuinely care for each other, that genuinely understand that we cannot do this on our own, or that we need to pray, God. Lord, there's so much that we can do out of our own strength, Lord, but we always come to the end of that, and that's when we pray. And so I pray that you would teach us continually, Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us, God, how to extend, God, our love to others in prayer. We thank you, Lord. Seal this message, this time of ministry in our hearts. We continue to pray for breakthrough, God. We thank you, Lord, that the retreat's not over. This is like a last night service of the retreat. We still have a lot more. And we thank you for that, that you are the God of the more. Lord, and we're going to be greedy. Lord, I'm a little greedy. We're going to be a little greedy, God. We're going to just continue to cry out for more and more and more of you. Because you are limitless, God. And so thank you, Lord. Continue to bless us, God. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. You guys keep praying if you need to and keep ministering to one another. Thank you, P-Dom, for the message and Pastor Victor for the worship. Lunch is being served right now, and so you can make your way down and grab some lunch. After lunch, you're meant to meet on the field. Here? What time is it? Look at your time. Huh? Yeah. Okay. Where are you supposed to be?
We're going to actually start inside first.
Okay. So after lunch, you need to go put on your game t-shirts. And you're meeting inside here at 1:30. Okay? In here at 1:30. Ready to rock. And win better than the Carling Cup. I bet you half of you guys don't even know what a Carling Cup is. Myself included.